Today, the problem with small business lending. Hello again, I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to our podcasts, in which we discuss the latest finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. I've been following the latest rounds of hearings at the Royal Commission into misconduct in the banking, superannuation and financial services industry, which is exploring lending for small businesses. And it's been quite dramatic, with stories of business owners with impossible dreams walking into commercial ventures which had a limited chance of success. The banks on the stand appear to have made procedural mistakes, and when things go wrong, often went for the jugular to cover their losses. This included relying on guarantees, even if it meant selling the guarantor's property. And the case studies included sad stories of people losing their homes. This included a disabled pensioner, blind and riddled with medical problems, her daughter, a budding small business operator, or an ambitious woman trying her hand at running a pie shop with the hope of retiring early. But the way the story is presented is only half the story. Yes, the banks failed in their duties on occasions, but on the other hand, many businesses need finance if they're to start, and banks want to lend. So what is really going wrong? Well, my theory is that small businesses are not getting access to the advice that they need to make a balanced assessment as to the viability of their business operation. By default, they assume that if the bank provides funding, then the business must be viable. But this is not necessarily so. The bank is only concerned with protecting their loan and ensuring that they can cover the risk of loss. This is not the same as considering the business in the round. We know that there are more than 2.2 million small and medium enterprises currently employing more than 5 million people in Australia. So the sector is a major element in the economy. But more than half of these businesses need finance for working capital and to start up a new business. And one in two will fail within 3 years for various reasons. Rates of failure vary by industry and experience. Small businesses are more likely to fail, according to our SME surveys. In fact, those seeking finance have quite limited options. Most will approach a major bank, although other lenders, including mutuals, regional banks, and even online lenders, are now playing in the field. Banks will often ask for a business plan or cash flows and other details to make an assessment on the application for finance. A business proposition will need to be assessed. And if a business loan is too risky, I guess the bank can simply turn it down or price it up. Secured borrowing will normally be at a lower rate of interest, but many prospective business owners do not have the ability to offer security, which is where the guarantee comes in. The fact is, borrowing money from a bank to purchase a business, especially if it's a franchise, is a serious gamble, particularly when you're putting your home or investment property or a family member's on the line. It's risky, and sometimes the risks are not obvious. Senior counsel assisting Michael Hodge in his opening statement this week made the point that most, though not all, of the case studies you will hear about involve the closure of a business. There is little robust data on the causes of closure of small businesses in Australia. It is important to note, he said, that first, a small business ceasing to trade is not necessarily synonymous with business failure. Many businesses cease to operate on their own terms. In its 2015 inquiry report on business setup, transfer and closure, the Productivity Commission found that over 90% of business exits are not the result of formal insolvency, and the majority are voluntary and do not involve business failure. In the same report, the Commission also observed that voluntary business exits include successful exits, such as selling the business for a profit or merging with another business. Mr. Hodge went on to cite the recent Productivity Commission inquiry, which found that initial funding for new businesses, whether debt or equity, was usually provided by the personal resources of business founders. That is, by personal savings, personal credit cards, or equity and personal assets such as real estate. However, many new businesses also seek finance from banks in the form of business loans, trading facilities, and overdrafts. and including on the basis of personal capital or equity being provided. In this way, small business lending is often intermingled with the finance of the business owners or the owner's family. Data provided by the major banks to the Productivity Commission show that around 33% of all small business lending by the major banks is secured by residential property. What the stories from this week's Royal Commission hearings have shown is a lack of guidance and independent advice made available to prospective small business owners. The fact is, banks are a product provider. They cannot really provide objective and independent advice on the viability of the business. Yet often the entrepreneur assumes that is what the bank is in fact doing. They may also use an accountant, although not all do. So how do they go about constructing a business plan and assessing financial viability of the business? Many do not possess the required skills. Things get even hairier when startups quit their jobs and parents offer to assist, even putting their homes on the line. Starting a business is a risk. Many will fail. And today I cannot see many sources of fair and fearless advice. Banks can't do that. Many accountants won't. So we have a black hole at the centre of small businesses. I hope this is something which the Royal Commission touches on, because the root cause problem is the lack of good advice, poor business plans, and over-optimistic business owners. I don't think that we can lay all of the blame at the door of the banks, despite their poor behaviour when things go wrong. If you like what you've heard here today, please like the post and add a comment or a question. If you want to join the growing band of subscribers who receive alerts when we release new posts, do subscribe now. I'm Martin North, the Principal Analyst at Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you again next time.